This message is going to be a little tough, but I'm going to need y'all to help me. Please turn with me to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. And once you get to the fourth chapter of Galatians, I want you to turn to the eighth verse. Now, if you're having a little bit of trouble finding where that is in your physical Bible, the book of Galatians is in the New Testament. If you go and open the Bible to the new, to the table of contents, you will see the Old Testament and the New Testament. And once you get to the New Testament, you're going to go kind of a third of the way down. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. And so once you're there, you turn to the fourth chapter. The big number four is the chapter. And then you're going to turn to the little number eight. That is the verse. If you can't, if you're not able to get it at this time, do not worry. The words are on the screen. I will be preaching out of the Christian Standard Bible version. You'll find similar words printed in your text. In the interest of time, I'm going to go ahead and read. Book of Galatians, 4th chapter, 8th through 11th verses, they read as follows. It says, "But in the past, since you didn't know God, you were enslaved to things that by nature are not God's. But now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elements? Do you want to be enslaved to them all over again? Verse 10, you are observing special days, months, seasons, and years. I am fearful for you that perhaps my labor for you has been wasted. I am going to present the following question today. Are holy days unholy?" You may be seated. Are holy days unholy? Now, let me back up. Y'all know what a holiday means, right? Holiday means holy day. Holiday, holy day. Okay. We on the same page? So a holy day is a day that is set apart. That's what holy means. It means to be set apart. Are we still on the same page? So are holy days unholy? Here's the issue. What I want to do is I want to talk to you from the other side. So this is what we're going to be coming against. Some of us know people that will not celebrate Christmas, just like they won't celebrate Easter, just like they sure enough won't celebrate Halloween, or Valentine's Day, or any of these other holidays, because they are what we like to call pagan days. Pagan holidays. Unholy days. People refuse to celebrate Christmas because they realize that Jesus was probably not born on December 25th. And then if you get a little more intellectual and a little more educated, you'll then find out that December 25th was a day where they celebrated a lot of pagan gods. and that the Christianity came after, and that it was just tacked on to December 25th. So again, in their educated and highly touted minds, if you're celebrating Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ on December 25th, you are doing something unholy, because that is the day that all of these other pagan gods have been celebrated. And now we're just tacking Jesus on top of something unholy. Y'all still with me? Don't let me get into Easter. Same thing. People don't even want to call it Easter. That's another sermon. Don't let me get into Valentine's Day. Don't let me get into Halloween. Oh my goodness. But this is a large thought. And this is happening not just from people outside. This is happening inside the church. Some of us are saying amen, but some of us are extremely bothered that we have a Christmas tree in the lobby. Extremely bothered. May not have even come today. Hello? Online, hello? Yeah. Some of us are extremely bothered about this season, and we keep singing all these songs and whatnot, and we're doing something that's completely unholy. And we want to sing these songs like we did in our Sunday school program, Oh Holy Night. Well, is it really a holy night if we're giving gifts on Christmas Day, December 25th? Is it really that? And so this is the question I want to bring to you, because this is what the other side puts out. Not only that, when you read a scripture like this, because obviously you got to have some scriptural backing. Christians, I'm talking about Christians we know, Christians that are in our families, Christians that are in this church. Hello? Christians will read a passage like Galatians that we just read and said, look, again, this is with my proper exegesis. Look at what the book of Galatians says. Paul is getting on the Galatians because they were turning back to Jewish ways. They were supposedly out and saved and believing in Jesus Christ. And how can you believe in Jesus Christ and then go back and observe all these Jewish holidays? That's what the text said, right? Hello? So we have believers in churches using scripture to justify why we cannot celebrate Christmas. Including pastors. I was trying to do some research on this. I found out I didn't have to work that hard. Because if I looked online, I saw church website after church website, after minister, after speaker, after pastor, telling their congregations why they do not celebrate Christmas. Again, this is happening right now, y'all. And so the Lord has put some thoughts that I need to share. Because at first glance, it does look convincing. It looks, you know, if you talk about pagans and whatnot, and then you have scripture saying not to do this, it looks like we shouldn't be doing this, right? It looks like Christmas, just like Easter, just like Halloween, just like Valentine's Day, we really should not be celebrating this. Why are we calling these days holy if they're really unholy? And this is what I'm trying to address. So let me go through this, because I know some of us have some Christmas dinners to get to. First of all, I do want to acknowledge that they are partially right. Christmas, when we talk about Christmas, when I'm referring to the actual birth of Jesus Christ, it probably was not on December 25th. there's a 99% chance that it was not. Okay? In fact, if you do a little more research, most likely, again, Jesus' birthday was probably in the spring. His actual birthday. Okay? But it's probably a good thing Jesus didn't tell us when it was, because then we'd make a big deal of it. But I have a friend, actually, this is Felicia's friend, and I came to know her. She actually spoke here a long time ago. Her name is Nizi. And some of you may remember she was from Africa, from Burundi, Africa. She was adopted as a young child, her and her brothers, and they were brought here to California. And something interesting about Nizi is that her birthday is on December 31st, which is New Year's Eve. Now, that may not actually be her birthday, but, and the details are a little fuzzy on this, in order for her and her brothers to meet some requirement in order to adopt them internationally and bring them over, she had to be born within like a certain part of the year, and it was, I think the year was winding down. I don't know. I have to get the details a little bit more. But the reason it was assigned December 31st as her birthday, it was an assigned day, was because they didn't actually know her birthday. Because the paperwork, wasn't really kept. And in order to bring her over and do what they needed to do, they just needed to say, today is the day that is your birthday. So December 31st is when her birthday is. Even though it is not her birthday, it is when we celebrate her birthday. Are y'all with me? So with her, just like I'm trying to say with Jesus, it wasn't about the day. It was more about the fact that they were born, right? So if I'm along with y'all, when it comes to birthdays, we do not celebrate a day. We celebrate a birth. Are we on the same page? We're not celebrating the fact that it's December 25th and that the earth is this far away from the sun and going in this direction. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ is born. It says, go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that it's December 25th. Right? No. We tell people that Jesus Christ is born. We don't celebrate a day. We celebrate a birth. Now, I have a question for you. We have a member today who is celebrating, and she said this, and said it was okay to say this, her 75th birthday, by the name of Sister Helen Harris. Amen? So we already did the happy birthday. We already sang that. My question to you is this. There are some other people that I know. I have a godson that was also born today. My question is this. When we sang happy birthday, did we sing it for Sister Harris and my godson? No. As I could do with my son, no. We sang it and celebrated her. It's a basic understanding, right? Just because we celebrate one birthday doesn't mean we celebrate all birthdays. Does that make sense, y'all? Y'all realize that other people were born on your day? But the birthday party's about you. Today we're saying happy birthday to Sister Harris. And in this season, we sing happy birthday to Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So just because the government put Jesus' birthday on December 25th does not mean that we're celebrating the birth of all these other pagan gods. Just because their birthdays happen to end up on the same day. Is that making sense? Don't worry, I'm getting the scripture, but sometimes you got to counter some of these arguments with these arguments, and don't worry, we're getting to the scripture. But does that make sense? You don't have to celebrate everybody's birthday at once. And now here's another issue. I'm gonna keep going. Somebody might say, well, you know, when you say you celebrate Christmas, you know, it's still an issue because of what happened, right? People still don't hear. That's all right. Take this logic. If we can't celebrate Christmas, we can't celebrate other holidays. Let me be even more specific. Let me be more specific. If we can't celebrate Christmas, maybe we shouldn't be celebrating birthdays. What you mean? Sister Helen Harris, you have a birthday today, right? How many people have had have celebrated their birthday ever in their life? Raise your hand. If you've ever celebrated your birthday, keep your hands high. If you've never celebrated your birthday, have you celebrated somebody else's birthday? Keep your hands high. Keep your hands high. Keep your hands high. Because guess what? Everybody that has their hands up, everybody's a pagan. Because the idea of celebrating birthdays actually came from Egypt. And the reason they're even called birthdays, hello, is because when a pharaoh was crowned as a pharaoh, in Egyptian thought they were becoming gods. So since they were becoming gods, then that was also termed their birth. That's where birthdays come from. Oh, you've had a cake on your day too? The goddess Artemis, or Romans call her Diana. Yeah, that's how they celebrated her, was making round cakes and blowing out candles. So if you've celebrated your birthday, you're a pagan. Y'all see how ridiculous this gets? So we can't celebrate Jesus' birth because by celebrating his birth, then we become pagans. Do you understand, like, the logic behind that? Do you understand how crazy that gets? And so I'm saying this because there's people that are talking about Christmas and talking about Halloween, all these things, but yet they're still celebrating their birthdays. And you were there. So people are not consistent. Let's just be real clear about that. Also, I see a whole lot of folks here on Sunday service. Y'all might be pagans too. Because, you know, Sunday, the literal name, was originally devised by the Romans, which then got translated, to worship the God of the sun. That's literally why Sunday is called Sunday. Now, y'all, and here we are celebrating our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on a Sunday. So are we just a whole unholy bunch because we're celebrating Sunday? Celebrating what happened on Sunday? Again, do you see how ridiculous this logic can get? Celebrating on December 25th does not mean that you are compromising your faith. This is what I'm trying to get at. It does not mean you are compromising your faith. How many of you have ever worn Nike clothing? Y'all pagans too. Because Nike is actually, you know, the goddess of victory. So whenever you're wearing Nike, you must be giving that goddess praise. Doesn't make sense. How many of y'all are married or were married and wore a ring on your finger? Yep, y'all were pagan too. Because a wedding ring could signify that the man owns the woman. Yeah, That's how it meant in other cultures. And then, you know, the fertility and circle of life, and that's why it's a ring. And yeah. Y'all see how this can get? This can get crazy. A Christmas tree. People don't like the Christmas tree because there is, oh, it was given to the god of thunder and whatnot. Do you realize if you have a tree on your property, you probably sin it at that rate? It gets crazy. But just because you are celebrating on December 25th does not signify compromise. When I wear Nike, I am not giving glory to the goddess Nike. When I wear my wedding ring, I do not signify that I own Felicia. And she's sure enough ain't signifying that she's just on my property. Mm-mm, not Felicia. Just because you celebrate on the day does not mean you are compromising your faith to everything that happened on that day, or even to what that day originally meant. Why do I say this? Because every day belongs to the Lord. Just because a day means something now, what a day means now doesn't have to be what a day meant then. When the Lord created days, think about this. He created them good. So if he created it good, you don't have the authority or the power to make it evil. I'm sorry. You don't. Genesis 1:31 said that God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it." Do you think the psalmist made sure not to write that on December 25th? Do you think the psalmist made sure to not write that on October 31st? Do you believe the psalmist was trying to avoid the 14th of February? Do you believe that the psalmist would actually say that this is the day that the Lord has made and we rejoice and be glad in it if he didn't realize that the Lord made every single day and every single day is his? And that no one is powerful enough to snatch a day out of his hand? He knows these things. Psalm 34:1, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always," or some versions say, "continually be on my lips." We're not skipping days of praise. We're not skipping events. The Lord ought to be praised at all times. You can't make days evil, because the Lord created them good. And then, again, as we start to get a little closer to the text, don't worry, I'm coming to an end. Because some people still are not convinced. Does anybody remember what happened with the Lord's Supper? When was the Lord's Supper instituted? It was instituted at night. Yes, it was instituted, obviously, before he was crucified. But does anybody know specifically what day it was for the Jews? Passover. The Lord and his disciples, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his disciples. As the scripture says, in the night that he was betrayed, took bread. Why was he taking bread? Because it was the Passover meal. What happened in that meal? Jesus Christ, in all of his authority, changed the day. He changed the meaning of that festival too, and the day, so that it would honor and glorify him. Jesus had the authority to overwrite Passover. If you know anything about the Jewish faith, that is crazy. Unless you really are the Lord God. Jesus has the authority to overwrite a holiday that the Lord instituted. Why is that a big deal? Because we realize that Christ has authority. If Jesus can overwrite Passover, he can overwrite any single day he wants. Christ has authority over all days. He can overwrite anything. So you know what? I don't care if the god Mithras and Sol Invictus and Horus, you know, those are Indo-European, Roman, Egyptian. Dionysus is Greek. Attis is Phrygian. I don't care if all five of those quote-unquote gods were born on December 25th. I don't care that Jesus was not necessarily born on December 25th. The original intent was that this holiday would supersede everything that would come before. So Jesus Christ, by celebrating it on December 25th, it actually makes a statement that he actually is over and above every single god that ever existed. He can overwrite anything. But we also, again, you know, again, there's people saying, whoa, Pastor James, you sound like you've read a couple of articles. You sound like, you know, you've thought about this more than 5 minutes. But I ain't seen no scriptures yet. Do you realize scripture must be consistent? And if scripture is consistent, we've got to be too. We talking about Galatians says don't celebrate birthdays. They didn't read Romans 14, 5 through 6, verse 5. One person judges one day to be more important than another day. Someone else judges every day to be the same. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. What? Same Bible? Verse 6. Whoever observes the day observes it for the honor of the Lord. Oh, well, Pastor, okay, yeah, you found that scripture, wonderful. Colossians 2nd chapter, verses 16 through 17. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink or in the matter of a festival, hello, or a new moon or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is Christ. So we've got scripture that says, stop doing this. Stop telling people not to celebrate Christmas. Stop telling people not to celebrate the new year. Stop telling people this. Now, if you don't want to do it because you just don't feel right, that's great. You do that on your own time. You ain't got to get no gifts. You'll help everybody else out. But for the rest of us who want to celebrate Jesus Christ and him coming, let them do it, y'all. Because when it's all said and done, it all has to point to Christ. Here's another issue. Who wrote this? The Apostle Paul. Holy Spirit using Apostle Paul. I'm ending, don't worry. The Apostle Paul wrote this. Here's a problem. Paul also celebrated the feasts. Wait a minute. How are you going to tell me not to do it, but you doing it? Right? That's a problem, right? But Paul celebrated the old feast, but the reason why he celebrated it is because he knew who they were for. He knew the direction. He knew that the Passover was fulfilled in Christ. He knew that Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, was fulfilled in Christ, giving his body on the cross and dying for our sins. He knew that these things were fulfilled in Christ. So the way that he was able to celebrate those feasts was to give glory to God through Jesus Christ, because he knew that those feasts were pointing to him. He did not have to celebrate those feasts. He did not have to do that. But he chose to do that because he knew what it was. He was around Jews. He didn't want to make everybody mad and throw everybody off. When you're around Jews, you got to act like a Jew. You know, when you're around Romans, you got to be like the Romans. He understood these things, and he realized that these things pointed to Christ, and he gave God glory. A Christmas tree does not originate from the Bible. We understand that. We get that. But when we put biblical messages and ornaments, and when we put the star on the top, we are reminded of the story of Jesus Christ and how he came to earth and how he led wise men who were way far in the east, led them on an almost 2-year journey so that they could come and just see him, because he's that glorious. We're reminded of these things. So Paul celebrated these feasts, but he celebrated who they were for. And again, I know I have to bring this to an end. Somebody said, well, you know, again, that your argument sounds wonderful, Pastor. You sound educated, Pastor. But there's a big old elephant in the room. You show skipping around this Galatians verse. All right, let's get to it. I'm going to tell you this. If we're going to use a scripture, use the whole scripture. Why was Galatians even written? Galatians was written because the church in Galatia, that's where we get your Galatians from, the church in Galatia, Paul had gone and preached the good news of Jesus Christ. He was building them up in the faith. They were learning. They were growing. And when Paul left, they switched right back to their old ways. What were their old ways? They had some Judaizers come in and tell them that the only way you can worship Jesus Christ the right way is for you to be Jewish. And so for you to be Jewish, you need to observe Jewish feasts. You need to observe Jewish holidays. You need to observe the Jewish law. You need to do things the Jewish way. Some of us are saying, "What? That doesn't make sense. Y'all ever heard of Hebrew Israelites? They're the same exact thing. Same thing. Nothing new under the sun. Hebrew Israelites tell you, you got to be black because God only accepts black people. Or people that convert to the black way, whatever they define that to be. Those people, the Judaizers, the ones who were trying to make everybody Jewish, they came in and basically said, nope, Paul was wrong. You need to be Jewish. You need to obey all of this stuff. And they bought it. They stopped listening to Paul, and they bought it. Paul was so ticked off. This is his angriest letter. He was so ticked off. And he's just like, how in the world could you go back to all of this? We taught this out of you. How did you go back so quickly to this? And then, so that was the context. That is the reason why Galatians was written. And the reason that is an issue is because Paul was preaching that the way to be saved, that the way to be in a right standing with God, that the way to have favor with God is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. It is by grace through faith that we are saved, not that of works, lest we boast, right? But it's the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's by him hanging on the cross and dying for our sins. It's by him being buried in the tomb. It's by him rising again on the third day. It's through him. And our faith and our hope should be through him. But when you have people come in and say, yeah, but you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to do that. Otherwise, that whole Jesus thing don't apply to you. Then you got problems. And this is the problem, is that they were using the law. That's what they called it. The law. They were using these traditions. They were using these rules to justify if you are a Christian or not. When we said that if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That was already established. But here you got people adding things. And that's what Paul was getting at, is people adding things to guarantee your salvation. That is very important that we pick up on that. Because then, here we go, verse 8. But in the past, since you didn't know God, you were enslaved to things that by nature are not God's. But now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elements? The weak and worthless elements. Do you want to be enslaved to them all over again? What are these weak and worthless elements? The weak and the worthless elements means the man-made religion that they had created to be right with God. The weak and worthless elements were the things, were the rules that they had to put themselves under. You know, don't eat shrimp and don't eat pork. Because if you eat shrimp or pork, then God's going to cut you off. Don't make sure you go to the Sabbath. You know, you got to celebrate the Sabbath. Because if you don't celebrate the Sabbath, then God's going to cut you off. And these things are already completed in Christ. These things are already fulfilled in Christ. And now they're turning back to these things. They think that these things have power. I still can't hear. Verse 10, it says, you are observing special days, months, seasons, and years. I am fearful for you that perhaps my labor for you has been wasted. The reason Paul is getting at this is because, and this is a major point, the problem was that they attached spiritual power to the wrong things. They were attaching spiritual power to not eating shrimp. They were attaching spiritual power to making sure they worship on a Saturday. They were attaching spiritual power that if they do these things, somehow God loves them more than others. God loves them more than when they came in. God loves them more. God loves them more. They're more saved. They're more secure. But in Jesus Christ, we have that blessed assurance. We know we're good. We know we're saved because we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. No one can pluck us out of his hand. He's got us. Computers type sound coming out of it. And so the problem that the Galatians had was that they attached power to the celebrations and the festivals when the power really and only belongs to Jesus Christ. And that is the fundamental issue. That is the fundamental thing that church folks are messing up, is because when we do this. When we say you can't celebrate Christmas because you have five other gods that were born on that day, when you can't celebrate Easter because you have some other gods, and you can't celebrate Halloween because that's the devil's holiday, you have attached spiritual power to the wrong things. You have declared that a day is so gone, it's so evil that not even the Lord can redeem it. You have declared that. When you say that we can't celebrate Christmas, you have declared that the fact that birthdays originated in Egypt means that we can't celebrate birthdays no more. You have done that. Who gave you the authority to say that? Who gave them the authority to say that? Stop giving dead things life. Let me say it another way. Stop making fake things real. All them other gods are fake. Was my mic on? Did that make it online? Let me make sure I heard that. Let me make sure. Talented sound team. All these other gods are fake. F-A-K-E. Fake. False. Phony. Not real. Christians, stop making fake things real. When you say that December 25th is dedicated to those gods and that's why we can't do nothing on that, you have given them power. You have made them real. And even worse, you have made them so real that they'll change how you as a Christian live your life. And not only that, they're so real that they've got you, Pastor so-and-so, Minister so-and-so, preaching to God's people about how you nor God can touch a day that the Lord has made. Stop giving dead things life. And I'll hesitate to even say dead things because that would assume that they were even alive. Stop making fake things real. Let me say it like this, since we're in the Christmas season. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Stop saying that he's not. Stop it. Stop it. Online, stop it. Stop acting like Jesus is Lord of 95% of your life, but that other 5% he can't touch. Stop acting like Jesus is Lord of some of the earth, but there's a part of the earth he can't touch. Stop acting like Jesus is Lord of all time, but not certain days. Stop acting like that. We're doing the devil's work when we do that. Stop that. In the sermon. The point I was saying is, you can celebrate holy days. Just keep it holy. Just keep it holy. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that we can build statues and start bowing down before it, okay? No, don't do that. All right? What we're saying is give glory to God and don't let anybody or anything tell you that you cannot glorify God. Don't respect these dead religions. Ain't nobody even worshiping these guys no more, but you. Stop respecting them. Stop observing days for them or reserving days for them. Stop throwing off your whole schedule. Some of y'all got real nervous when I started saying you can't celebrate birthdays and you can't wear Nike and wedding rings. Some of us got real nervous. But I want to tell you that if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you are good. Do you understand that? You are safe. You are loved. You are protected. And you don't need to worry and say, well, I can't celebrate my birthday. I can't do birthday wishes because that was a pagan thing about bringing spirits closer to you and asking for protection. Stop doing that. Stop limiting yourselves. Jesus Christ is Lord. It was a holy night because it was a special night. It was a special night that Jesus Christ entered into this world. And by being in this world and doing what he did, he declared that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He has all dominion, rule, authority, power. Keep going on with the synonyms. He has it all. And days like this, we get to celebrate it. Just keep it holy. Keep it set apart. Keep it something that's dedicated to Jesus Christ. Keep what you're doing lifted up and honoring him. Keep doing that. And we can declare our power over the enemy. We can declare authority, the authority of Jesus Christ over any created thing. We can declare that if we just stay strong and realize that holy days are not unholy. They're holy. That's why we call them holy days. So St. John, keep it holy and enjoy your holidays.